Welcome back to That's Cricket, and today I got my super six things I'm going to be talking about. The first thing, some people know him as Rodman Powell, others know him as Superman. KKR got a beautiful catch. Rodman Powell, one of the catches of the year, and I said this would put baseball fans into a coma. We're going to go through the slides right here. Now, he had to run 40 feet to his right, outstretched with one hand, takes the catch bare hand, one hand, with absolutely no care for his personal safety. He has a little bubble in the middle there, and once he regathers the ball in that next frame, he is on a collision course with the turf. He is going to hit the ground so hard that his glasses are going to split into bang. Hits the ground here, is probably a little bit dazed, but he's from the Caribbean. He's tough. Here are the sunglasses. Bang, sunglasses, one pair goes one way. The little other arm flies out the other way. His half dazed, half concussed, still holding on to the ball, mind you. There are the two bits of the sunglasses. They split in two. And he would get up like nothing happened. Cool as a cucumber, and his sunglasses are totally cooked. They're gone. I think when he put them back on, he kept the same pair of sunnies, or maybe they got him a new one. That would have been quick. But an incredible catch, barehanded Specky. A lot of people, when they see the baseball cricket crossover, they show the highlight with the glove on. It's a whole nother level when you go on bare hand to a ball that just got smacked to you in the deep. You've had to run 40 feet, 50 feet. And then to keep the ball in your hand after you've hit the turf is pretty incredible. Rodman Powell, that catch was incredible. Cricket is hard enough as it is without having different names up on the screens for the cricketers. Sometimes it's first name, sometimes it's last name, and I even got confused this week. I posted a clip. It's going viral. Let's run the clip.
Something that I don't understand about cricket is why they make the names confusing. I'm like, Nasunka just scored 50, but Nasunka's name isn't up here. This is Nasunka's first name. How do I say it? Padam Nasunka, right? But KL Rahul, it's Rahul. They don't put KL up there. Like, they mix and match if they use last name or first name. Just do all last name. Like, just do or all first name. Just do last name. Or do the whole name. But don't confuse everyone. Because I'm like, that's Nasunka. He scored 100. But I'm like, where is he on the scoreboard? That's his first name. This should say Nasunka.
This was hilarious because I called out KL Rahul. I said, Nasunka's name is... They're saying his first name's up on the screen and his last name should be up. And then I say, like, K.L. Rahul. It's K.L. Rahul. His last name is up on the screen. But the internet would let me know that that is actually his first name. The comments were flooded with, actually, Adam, K.L. is his last name and Rahul is his first name. What is happening? I'm like, I'm triple confused now. A lot of the Indian players actually reverse their names in real life because, I don't know, it's part of their heritage. They switch the names over. So on the screen, I've grown up or I've lived with KL Rahul being in my cricket verse, and I'm out there thinking that KL is short for like K.L, you know, like A.B. de Villiers, like it's some sort of shortened name, and then Rahul's his last name. No, turns out Rahul's his first name. He puts it at the end of his name, and yes, I think we need to have all cricketers' first name or last name, or just like I said in the video, just last name. But then people came and said, Singh, there's Singhs, and there's Sharmas, and this, and there's that. Sort it out. If we're going to call one player Nasunka, let's keep him as Nasunka. And KL Rahul, sorry, I thought that your first name was your last name. Last name was your first name. I didn't know. But yes, cricket players' names, they are confusing. The PSL final, it gave us a lot of things to talk about. Controversial moments. The Kingsmen would lose. And we're going to talk about first obstruction of the batter, because this is something that I think should have had a bigger deal made of. Now, the bowler would bowl the ball, the batter hits it, and they would decide to make the run. Now, we had previously in the IPL this obstruction of the field. Now, as the bowler beelines to the ball, he would cross in front of the batter. Now, the batter has to slow up a little bit and change his line and then make a direction across the pitch, make the dive, Bracewell, the fielder, beautiful one-hand pickup underarm throw, textbook, flying in the air here, gets the direct hit, and the batter would be out by an inch, even less than an inch. This is the freeze frame here of him getting out. Now, Lavishane wasn't happy, Dizzy Gillespie coach wasn't happy. And I think there should have been more of a fuss made about this because the batter had to slow down and change his line. And we just came off the IPL moment where the fielder was out obstructing the field from the fielders. And this case, he had to change direction and he was short. This is the moment in the IPL where the ball hit the fielder. They called this obstructing the field. They called this out because he was short of his ground. They didn't give any benefit of the doubt to the batter. Now, I believe he had to slow down and the bowler came in front of him. Now, when you think about the IPL moment, they were saying things like he had eyes to the ball, he changed directions, he crossed the pitch, he was in a different position from where he started. These things still apply in this situation. The batter had to change his line of getting to the crease. He had to slow down because the bowler was in front of him. The bowler had eyes for the ball, but then couldn't get to the ball. And there's kind of no precedent here for what happens when this happens. I feel like there should be some sort of, you know, emphasis on the batter getting a little bit of a reprieve here because he had to change his line. If we're going to have all these rules and all these things for the batter, if they get in the way of the ball, it's going to be out. If the bowler gets in the way of the batter, I think it should be not out. Let me know your thoughts because it was Controversy City Online. It was kind of 50-50 across the board and people thinking it out, shouldn't be out. And then it kind of got worse. This kind of costs the Kingsmen some runs. Only posted 129. And then Hardy, he would be man of the match and he would be out or actually given not out on what I think is maybe the worst call in all of sports. This is the run out from Hardy. Now we're going to go to this frame here. Now, in cricket, there are 24 frames a second that record these cameras. It's not like baseball where you get 120 frames. Jimmy Jumbo O'Brien, he's done a video in this where he says that we kind of miss little gaps in the footage because it only has 24 frames. This is the frame we have as the ball impacts the stumps. And then on the next frame, we see the bails are dislodged and we have the bat on the line. Now, they claim that this bat is over the line. The rule states that some part of the bat must be touching the ground over the line. And they think there's something here. I can't see it. And what I believe that you can see here is the shadow of the bat. This is a cricket bat. And the bottom of the bat is curved. As you can see here on the desk, if I have a little backdrop here too, there is a shadow under the bat. Why? Because the bat is curved. And if we zoom in on the right-hand side of this screen here, you are going to see a black dot right on the line. That black dot on the line is from the curvature of the back, curvature of the bat. There's no part of this bat over the line. What you do see as the crow flies, or like in NFL, breaking the plane, that's the curvature of the bat pressing over the plane. No part of the actual toe of the bat is touching the ground. It's just like this. You can see on the desk here with this bat. That is the shadow. A shadow gets created with this bat because it's curved, and that is what you see. This is not out. I mean, this is out. There's no part of this bat behind the line. I don't know how it wasn't given out. It cost them the game. Hardy would go on. He would top score. He would score 56 not out. He would win them the game. He also took 4 wickets. And give a shout out to Aaron Hardy. He is coming over to America. He's going to play for the San Francisco Unicorns. Can't wait to see him here. But in this instance, I believe he should have been given out, and this game should have gone down to the wire a little more. 130 Peshwar get off for 5 wickets down. They win with 28 balls to spare. They win the PSL. They would win, but the Kingsmen would win our hearts. Next up, we got Jason Holder. He's bowling really, really well in the IPL, but his controversial catch has me concerned and the internet concerned. This catch was confusing to everyone. And I think the biggest part of this here is just a lack of cohesion in the rules and, you know, disparity. This ball is clearly touching the ground. And in the next frame, this ball's also touching the ground. He's touching the ground a lot in this thing. Now, I said during the video that I made about this, did he take the catch? Yes. Did he have control of the ball? Yes. Did the ball touch the ground? Yes. And if you go to the Mitchell Stark, which is the gold standard example of is a ball out or is it not out, this was given not out. And again, you could argue, Did he have did he catch the ball? Yes. Did he have control of the ball? Yes. Did the ball being on the ground stop him from touching the boundary, which would have made it a six? Also, yes. Was Holder gonna touch the boundary at all? No. But I just don't like the rule. Now, they mentioned that the rule may have changed a little bit slightly, and it now is, as long as there is clear control of the ball, the player can let the ball touch the ground. I think it's just a bad look to put the ball on the ground. I think, and again, it was debated online, people were saying it's out, people were saying it's not out. This was, back in the day, the stock thing was, it was insane. It was almost like one of the first times we had it. But this, just a bad look having the ball touch the ground because, again, you could say his momentum hasn't finished. He hasn't really finished making the catch. I'm okay if you're, if you full dive and you stop your dive and then you push your hands down to help you get up. But as you're in the moment, in the motion of still trying to stop yourself, I feel like if the ball touched the ground like this, it should be given, not out. But then we had, like, Ashwin was like, his hands are so big. They're like NBA players' hands. There's some part of his fingers underneath the ball. I could argue that. He's 7 foot. He's a monster. He's 6'7". He's a big guy. But yeah, let me know your thoughts. Was this out or was this not out? Because I think this catch could have been given not out. If there was one rule I would like to change in cricket, it would be the waist-high no-ball rule. Currently, as it stands, if you bowl the ball and it is striking the batter or gets to the crease and the ball's above the waist, they call it a no ball. I've got some clips here that I'm going to show you what happened. So in the IPL, we have a couple of instances with the Rajasthan Royals. Now, this was given as a fair delivery. Now, these were outs. These were caught. So these balls were caught in the deep. This ball struck the batter at the crease below his waist. Now, in the IPL, you can see right here, they actually measure the batter's waists beforehand from a full standing position. That's a whole other point. But in the IPL, they get this extra graphic here where they can test at the crease, is the ball below or above the waist at standing? If it is below the waist at standing, it's fair delivery, right, we have here. But if you go to the next frame, you can actually see that where the batter contacts the ball, he contacts the ball above his waist. And so my argument is, should the rule be changed for if the batter is in the crease and he strikes the ball in front of his body and it's above him, the ball makes contact with his bat and the ball is above the waist, should this be a no ball? Should the rule be changed? Now, there was a lot of talk if it should or if it shouldn't. People were disagreeing. A lot of the disagreement was, well, people will run down the pitch. You're not going to get anyone running down the pitch because then you're going to get stumped. And it happened twice now to Rajasthan. There's another example here with Rahul. This one was well below his waist at the crease line. But if you go to the frame where he actually makes contact, he makes contact well out in front of him while having a foot still in the crease, and that ball is impacted above his waist. Now, the other argument is, well, should the rule, if we're not going to change the rule on if it hits the bat above the waist on the full, should it be like baseball where it's in a batting position? In baseball, they go from batting position where they judge, you know, the strike zone. In here, a batter is never fully standing up. They're in a semi-crouched position. And again, here, semi-crouched, when he impacts the ball, it's above his waist. I think this rule should be looked at and should be changed. And then people say, oh, the bowlers need a little more from the bowlers. But when the ball's coming to you 85, 90 miles an hour, you are making the decision to hit the ball based off where the ball is. And that ball is generally above your eye line if it's coming above your waist. And when you go to make that swing, you're hitting it above your waist. I feel like if you've hit the ball above your waist and you've kept at least 1 foot in the crease, you're in the crease, that should be a no ball. Let me know your thoughts on that one because I think that the no ball rule should change. This one I'm calling the highest IQ play of the year in cricket. We're going to run the clip on this one.
Virat Kohli, Pattidar, and Bhuvie just pulled off one of the highest IQ cricket plays you're ever going to see. The Bhuvie is bowling to Butler. With his very first ball, Butler would step across his crease, getting to the offside. He would hit the ball out to the leg side and run two. Second ball, the very same thing. Step across the crease to the offside, hit it to the leg side. This is where Pattidar comes in, the captain. He's fielding at mid-off and notice this. So Kohli, Bhuvie, and Pattidar would have a little chat in between balls and that would hatch a plan. They told Bhuvie to bowl a Yorker round his legs. And he executes it. He bowls Butler round his legs, bowls a Yorker, and takes out leg peg. He's so excited, he charges towards Coley as if, we did it, it worked. They embrace, and you see Coley, he's pointing. He's pointing towards his captain because his captain noticed this, and they just pulled off the highest IQ play ever in cricket.
I love this. I love this. High IQ plays, I seem, are a rarity now in cricket. This was great. I'm a big believer in the captain fielding at mid-on, mid-off, so he has an ability to visually see the batter from front on. Some people like the batter from the keeper's perspective, but I think the GOAT position is to have the captain at mid-on, mid-off. So you can see what the batter is doing. Clearly here, Butler stepping across his crease, hitting it to the leg side, running two, doing it again, running two, and for this to all have like a triangle effect of Patidar and Coley kind of knowing, because Coley knew what was happening because he points. So I don't have the clip of them like talking in between the games, but they came up with this plan. And then for Bouvy to be able to execute, it's one thing to say, okay, bowl him round the legs, bowl a Yorker around his legs, because technically it was a little outswing, a little bit of outswing in Yorker around the legs. But for Bouvy to pull this off was insane. What's one of the most highest IQ plays? I feel like now with the IPL, there's a lot of talk about Muralee's out here saying, oh, the pitches are too firm and everyone's scoring too many runs. I'm like, from my perspective, bowlers and bowling teams, fielding sides, need to be hatching more plans, having more attacking fields, coming up with things like this that can get a player out rather than just playing the safe field, hoping that you get a catch in the deep. This was a super high IQ play, maybe the highest IQ play of the year, maybe the highest IQ play ever.